Sorry, I got all caught up in the ice cream, and
well,
the piano player was still over there, and I just waiting to do a third song, and you know. But that, yeah, thank you for the ice cream. I happen to really love ice cream. Something about it, but it's good, and I just eat a lot of it. I remember we had a guy from our church. He's not a little guy, and my wife made him a bowl of ice cream, and he is like, oh my, I have never seen a bowl of ice cream so big. And I'm thinking, really? And so this year at church for my birthday, one of the ladies there, she got me a blow-up Walker. And then she also got me a big, huge bowl with a big spoon, and it says Bobby's Ice Cream Bowl. Anyway, enough about my ice cream, but turn with me. We're going to be in the book of John again. Turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I really do thank each and every one of you for coming out today and just the encouragement you all have been to my family and I, and just the response from this morning's message. And I praise the Lord for that. He gets the glory and the credit for it. It is encouraging, though, and I would just encourage you guys to keep on keeping on. Y'all have a good pastor. Support him. Love him. Take care of him. Fight for him. And you guys have a great thing going on here. All right, John chapter 21. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17, and then we'll be flipping over to Luke chapter 22. All right, well, I'm going to start in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we come before you. Thank you for this church. I ask that you would continue to bless this church. Be with Brother Ferguson as he pastors here, Lord. Be with his family. Thank you for each and every one here. And Lord, we thank you most of all for you and your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak through me this afternoon. Help me to step out of the way. Give guidance and direction. And may you speak to our hearts and not just speak to us, Lord. Lord, we are getting ready to go into our work week. As it was mentioned earlier, it's so easy to do the things of God on a Sunday, but Lord, help us to apply them on a Monday through Friday, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right. John chapter 21 and verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, Jesus speaking, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. For many years, I've been reading this passage. Peter is one of my favorite people in the Bible. He reminds me a lot of myself. Now, I didn't say anything about ice cream, but Peter liked to fish. Peter was always, anywhere Peter went, there was action. And that seems to be my life for some reason. But Peter was always bold. Peter always had something to say. Peter was always doing something. But Peter also had a love for the Lord. Now, sometimes his love for the Lord, he may not always lived up to it. He always bit off more than he could chew. And sometimes, if we want to be honest, we do the same thing. Oh, Lord, I'll do this for you. And I don't want to get too far ahead of my message, but Lord, yeah, I'll do that. Oh, yeah, I can do that for you, Lord. And sometimes we just blurt out things. And I think we're sincere about them, but our motive's not right. So for years when I had seen Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these, I was thinking, I could put my name there and think, Bobby, lovest thou ice cream more than these? Lovest thou fishing more than these? Lovest thou hunting more than these? Lovest thou your time more than these? You can put your name there. But after I started reading a little more, I was like, well, I don't know if that quite lines up. So I believe to get our answer to our text, we need to go back to Luke chapter 22. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to look at verses 54 through 62. I think that's right. Nope, I take that back. We're going to look at verses 31 through 34. And Jesus speaking, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purses and scrip and shoes, and you lacked, actually I'm not even going to read that part, but verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Three times the Lord asked Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me? Feed my lambs. Lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. But I go back and I look and Peter says, Lord, I will go to do this for you. I will go to jail. I will die. I will stand by your side. I will do whatever it takes. And we know that in the garden, Peter was bold. He cut one of the guy's ears off and the Lord healed his ear. But isn't it so easy for us in the flesh to say, Lord, I will do whatever it takes. And he proved it with his knife that he was willing to fight for the Lord. But what was he fighting in? He was fighting with his flesh. It wasn't spiritual. And it's so easy for us to make spiritual decisions in the flesh and mean good things, but not follow through with them. And so all these years when I looked at Peter, the Lord is asking him three times, Peter, do you really love me more than these? And I thought, was it the fishing? Was it his old lifestyle? Was it some of the things that just took place in his life? But when I look back, what it is, I truly believe that it is do you love me more than my other disciples? Because he says, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter's like, I love you more than any of them. And I think God right there was trying to prove, Peter, do you really love me more than these? Do you really love me more than these? It says Peter was grieved. Sometimes we can, as Christians, we can become grieved because like, what, you don't believe me? I said this, I really mean it. I really do. Lord, forgive me. I really ask you to forgive me. But are we sincere? Are we sincere in our walk? Do we really mean what we say? Are we just saying words that sound good? And I believe as Christians, instead of just saying words that sound good, we need to be meaningful and not get ahead of ourselves. Peter got ahead of himself. Look with me here in verse 54 through 62 in chapter 22. It says, then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid, beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while yet spake, the cock crew. Poor Peter. Poor Peter. He was so bold. He was so passionate. But at the same time, his words were empty. He left. I mean, it plainly, he denied him. And in the book, I believe it's in the book of Mark, it says he cursed. He cursed. He's a Christian man. He said some bad language about, I don't know this man. Picture Peter, though, with me really quick. You've walked with the Savior for 3 years. I mean, if I'm walking by a guy like Daniel, I'm going to be pretty tough. He's a big dude. If I'm walking by somebody like Brother Ferguson, I mean, he can handle his own too, I'm sure. You know, man, you know, just kind of get all puffed up. I'm like, yeah, little Bobby boy, he's tough. It's easy to say when they're around. But when I'm by myself, can I back it up? It was easy to say when the other disciples were around. It was easy to say when Jesus was around. But when Peter was alone, when he had to face the audience, when he had to face the people that were against God or Jesus, and he had to stand firm, he couldn't do it. He was scared. He was frightened. He was terrified. And you know, you and I can be the same way. We can make many promises to God. We can say we're going to do this. We can say we're going to do that. We can want to change the world. But we can't do it from the flesh. We have to do it in the Spirit. I want to look at a couple things. The first thing I want to look at really quick, turn back with me into 22 there in verse 22 and 31 through 34. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So Jesus knew that Satan desired to take Peter down. He knew that Peter, Jesus knew that Peter had boldness to him. Jesus knew that out of all the men, basically Peter was kind of the head guy. He's kind of the leader, so to speak. He wasn't afraid. But Jesus did not pray for Peter not to fall. What did he pray for? He prayed that his faith would fail not. He prayed that his faith would stay strong. Each and every one of us in this room, God knows that you and I are going to fail. But he's praying that our faith will stay strong. How do we stay strong in our faith? We have to be in prayer. We have to be in our Bible. And it says that the Lord goes intercessory before us every day before God. He's praying for us. He loves us. He cares for us. But he didn't pray for Peter not to fail. Sometimes in our Christian walk, when we fail, it can help us to grow. Mistakes in our lives, if we learn from them, can make us better and more mature. But if we don't pay attention to the mistakes that we make and our failures, then we're not going to grow. But we'll see later on that Peter learned from his mistakes. Peter took to heart what Jesus said, and if we look further down in verse in chapter 22 and look at verse 61. It says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." But look at this. "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." He was remorseful. He was remorseful of his sin. He was remorseful of the mistakes that he made. And you and I need to be remorseful of the things that we do wrong. Can you imagine Jesus looking you in the eyes and he told him that he was going to fall? He told him that Satan desired to sift him as wheat. And then he had to look him in the eyes and he knew that he denied him. Facing Jesus, looking him in the eyes and knowing that you denied the only begotten Son. The first thing is Peter's denial. He quit. Peter quit. Peter just gave up. Have you ever quit? Have you ever gave up anything the Lord's desire for you to do? You had a strong passion about it. You wanted to do it. You desired to do it. And you just quit. You know, a lot of things in our life comes with consequences and struggles, especially when we make the wrong decisions. You ever heard the thing, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences? You know, my son and I went deer hunting Friday night, and we're on public land. And if you know anything about public land, you cannot take any ATVs or motorized anything on there. Well, me and him had the great idea Friday night in the rain to shoot two deer. And we're about, three quarters of a mile back in there. And I knew the deer I shot was done. She was over with. And then he had shot one and we went and looked for it, couldn't find it. We thought we'd go back the next day and try to find it. So we found mine, did what we had to do, and we drug it 0.78 miles. And we had to go through some thick stuff, over some logs, down a creek, up a creek, down the Sheraton River, up the Sheraton River, up the railroad tracks, across the railroad tracks, down the railroad tracks, and then to the van. 7:30 turned into almost 10 o'clock pretty quick. But we didn't give up. We had a purpose. When we vow to the Lord to do something and we know that He's called us to do it, we need to follow through with it no matter how tough it gets. Was there times we wanted to give up on Friday night? Sure. We got fatigued. We got tired. But you know what we did in that time? We rested. We paused. We rested. And sometimes in the ministry, we think of looking at things that like, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. No, you don't. As I mentioned to a brother earlier, it's the small things in the ministry that really count. Standing up here is important, but it's the small things. It's witnessing to people at work. It's loving people that are unseen. It's ministries that go unknown that are important. Don't quit. The next thing I would like to look at is the crucifixion, how Peter fled. Each and every one of us in this room has fled from something in our Christian walk. You say, well, I've never fled. Well, has God ever asked you to witness to somebody and you left? That's fleeing. Have you ever been at work and people had a conversation and said something about God that was wrong and you didn't stand up and say something about it? You fled. I fled. We need to stand for God. And sometimes when we stand for God, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to be a Christian and say the right thing. Because you know why? We're too worried about being liked. We are. Boy, they said that about me. Oh man, I don't know. Whew. But you'll find out when you're bold for the Lord and you're kind about your boldness,
that people will recognize that?
Because anytime there's a group of people, and I don't care if you're soul winning, I don't care if somebody says something they shouldn't say, and you stand up for the Lord's name, there's one person in that group that agrees with you, but they're not brave enough to say it. One person. The guy that mentored me, he got saved, and every night after they got off work, they would go play cards. Even after a saved man, he would still play cards every night after work. And the Lord convicted him on it. One night he said, "Hey fellas, this will be my last night of ever playing cards again." Guy came up to him and said, "Man, I'm so glad you said that." He goes, "I've been wanting to say that for years." My point is you never know who's listening. You never know who might be interested in hearing the Lord. Don't flee. Don't flee. Thirdly, I'd like to look, turn with me back to John chapter 21. And we're going to look at Peter's backsliding. John 21 and verse 3. "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we'll also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." So we see that Peter quit his denial of the Lord, the crucifixion. We see that Peter fled. And then we see that Peter backslid. Peter went back to his old lifestyle. As a Christian, we can be in our walk and we can be in faith, and sometimes we just get so burnt out. Sometimes we get so drudged down. Sometimes things happen that we just want to go back to living the way we used to live. Now, I'm not talking about doing the things that we used to do, but sometimes it's just easier to back out a little bit. Sometimes brothers and sisters in church don't get along. Sometimes people don't agree with the pastor and they think they need a different one. Sometimes they don't like the deacon. Sometimes they don't like you. But we're not here for that. We're here for this.
Amen.
And if you have a good pastor, I'm going to say this, and he didn't tell me to say anything about it, but if you have a good pastor, get behind him and back him all the way, because you know as well as I do, it's hard to find a good pastor, especially in this day and age. Is your pastor perfect? No, and neither are we.
Amen.
But if you have somebody that loves you, someone that's willing to take the time with you, someone that's willing to teach you the word, someone that's willing to be up for all hours of the night, and you can call him at any time, be there for him. Be there for him. Because I guarantee he comes here and preaches not because, A, God called him, but B, he loves you. God's given him a flock, and he loves his flock. And that's what Jesus was saying. "Peter, feed my sheep. Love the sheep that I've given you. Teach the young ones. Grow them. Help them to come to know me. Help them to grow in the Lord so they can do things." That's all a pastor does. A pastor has a heart for people. It's not something that most people desire. It's something that the Lord lays on your heart to do. And if that's what the Lord's called you to do, you can't help what the Lord calls you to do. If the Lord calls you to be a plumber, be good at it. Be number one in the number two business. I mean, whatever. That'd been a good dad joke, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But Peter went back to his old life. He liked to fish. Now, as far as me, I used to fish a lot of bass tournaments, and I was sponsored, and my goal was to fish the Bassmasters. That's what I wanted to do. And I told the Lord my plans after I was saved, and guess what he did? He laughed at me. He was like, "Yeah, I'll let you do it for a little bit, but you need to get rid of the boat and sell it and do what I want you to do."
Wow.
Yeah. So I did. But it's easy at times to see the flashy boats and the tournaments and the prizes and the cool gear and want to go back and do those things. You know, one of the amazing things is when the Israelites The Israelites come from Egypt and they're complaining. And I think they're, and correct me if I'm wrong, but their complaint, I want to go back to where there's onions and garlic. I mean, come on. There is better food than that. Lord, we want to go back where there's onions and garlic. I'll eat manna all day long, but probably eat onions and garlic. But I mean, you know, maybe a nice steak and maybe some good fish or a bucket of chicken as mentioned this morning, you know. I mean, and if you don't like the grease, then air fry it with the new air fryers, you know, and you just eat healthy. But Peter went back to his old life. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't give up and go back to your old lifestyle. Amen. Because I know what lies behind me, what I used to do. And actually, I don't desire to go back. But we're all one sin away from going back to what we used to do. I look around the church and you can look at me and I see people, and that's what we are as people.
Yep.
We're just people. We fail. I was in jail preaching the other night, and I wasn't in there, but I was, you know, I took my orange off and came in. I told everybody I was deer hunting, you know. But I was on my way in. I was thinking, why does the Lord love us so much? I was like, why does He love me? Why did He sit? Why did He even bother to get my attention? Why? And as I was getting ready to walk in the door, He said, because I created you in my image.
Wow.
I was like, whoa. I almost felt smart for that long. And then we were talking about it in jail, and then it gave me an idea, and I was like, so I rolled with it. So we wonder why the Lord loves us so much. How many of you men in here have ever built anything with your hands? Were you proud to show it off?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And did you take care of it? Yeah. And you didn't want anything bad to happen to it, did you? No. You did whatever you could to preserve it. Ladies, have you ever done anything that you were very proud of? And you wanted to take care of it, and you didn't want it to get messed up. Sure. God created us in His image, and He wants to show us off. And He wants to take care of us. And He says, I don't want anything to go in the temple that shouldn't go in the temple. I don't want you to do that with your body. I don't want you to do that with your life. I have a purpose for you. And then it made things seem so much easier why God loved me. Because He created us. And He cares about His creation. Look with me in 21 and we'll look at verses 15 through 17 again. It says, so when they had dined, in the book of John, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Did you notice once again, as the woman in the well and even here, Jesus wasn't stern in His lecture to Peter. He was gracious. He was trying to get Peter to understand what he wasn't doing right. Hey, Peter. Hey, Peter. Hello. Hey, Bobby. Hey, guys. Hey, Christian. Hey. Just trying to get your attention. And then after Peter said that he loved them, he told them once again to feed his sheep. He wants them to feed the flock. He wants them to do what he's called him to do. And I want you to look at Peter's calling on his life, of what the Lord tells him he's going to do. And we're going to read verses 18 through 23. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and thou walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying what death he should glory God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." I'm going to stop right there. Once again, he told Peter, this is your life. This is what's going to happen. This is your death. This is what's going to take place. Follow me. Christian, you and I have a number. We don't know when our number is going to be. There's no Bobby 21:47 to tell me that, hey, Bobby, this is your life laid out. This is how things are designed for you. This is what you're going to... But I want you to know, these men didn't know either. This was written afterwards. They were just living by faith, as we need to live by faith. And he told Peter how he was going to die, and that he wanted him to follow him. Today, Christian, we need to follow him.
Amen.
We need to follow him no matter what the world says, no matter who's our president, no matter what's taking place in our world, no matter what the news media says, no matter what the public school says, no matter what anyone says. We need to do what this says.
Amen.
Exactly what this says.
Amen.
And if we live by the guidelines, the map book of our life, then we're going to be doing okay. And just not hearers, as we heard this morning, but also doers of the word. And it's easy for us to sit around and to hear the word and to say, man, that was a great message by pastor, or that was a great message by evangelist so-and-so. But if you and I don't put it into place, we're going to quit, we're going to flee, we're going to backslide, and we're going to be in trouble. Then I want to look at Peter was challenged. The Lord told him to feed his sheep. He challenged him to feed his sheep. But then Peter was redirected. The Lord gave him all these things. Peter, this is what I desire for you to do. This is my call for your life. I want you to put yourself in Peter's shoes right now. What has God specifically called you to do? Not me, but you. Not your wife, not your spouse, not your child, but you. What has he called you to do individually in your life? Because he's called us all to do something in our walk for him. And you know what? It's all going to be different. If you go to the toolbox and you get a bunch of hammers, it's only going to go so far. If you go to your toolbox and all you got screwdrivers, it ain't going to work very well. God has, this is a giant toolbox, and he has different tools. We're all different tools to God, and he's going to use us in the way that he desires. We all possess a certain desire for God to use us in a unique way, and just for us. Just for us. And when we look at Peter, let me find my place here. Look with me in verse 20 and 21. It says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Four times. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Follow me. Peter was too worried about what John was going to do. If I'm too worried about what Brother Daniel or Brother Christian or Brother Dustin or Brother Roger or any of these men in here are going to do, then my life is not effective for Christ. Boy, I sure wish I could play the piano like Brother Rob. It's not doing me any good because I can't. I'd be better at throwing it. And too many times as Christians, we're too busy looking into each other's yard and seeing what so-and-so is good at and what other people are doing instead of doing what God has designed us for. Use your gift. Use your talent. It's okay to say, man, I really like how Brother so-and-so preaches, and incorporate that into your life. Or, hey, that's great advice, and I like what he or she does. I'm going to incorporate that into my life. But what happens is we look around and be like, I wish I had so-and-so's gift. Boy, I don't know why God didn't call me to be an evangelist. I don't know why I can't bake cookies like she bakes cookies. She's so good at it. But whatever God's given you to do, do it. Be thankful for it. Because he chose it especially for you. You say, well, I'm just a housewife and I take care of the kids. Just.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. Be thankful. God's called you to do that. Because it's the highest calling for a woman. Guys, you're like, I'm not a preacher. Well, in many ways, you might be blessed. You don't have to stand up here in front of people and get over the shakes and wiggles, you know, but what has God called you to do? Whatever he's called you to do, don't worry about what other people say. When I first started preaching, I didn't ask God to call me to preach. Nope. I didn't like to read, didn't like to write, didn't like to do any of that stuff. But I can't help what God called me to do. He just called me. And many times we can pick apart what God has designed our lives for and throw away something that he could use us so mightily in that you don't know how you're going to turn the world upside down with the gift that he's given you. So don't be a Peter. Saying, well, what about that guy, Lord? But Lord, thank you. I'm content with the gift you've given me. Lord, I know I'll never be a theologian. I know that I'll never master certain things. I know I'll never be able to speak all the Greek or know all the Greek. But Lord, thank you just for the opportunities that you give me. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to witness to somebody at the grocery store. Lord, thank you for helping me to do whatever. I go to the jail ministry. If I didn't tell anybody, nobody would know. Nobody cares. A lot of people don't. But it doesn't matter what other people think. I'm doing it for the Lord. What are you doing it for? What are we doing it for? I don't know if this message has made any sense to you or not. I'm praying it does. But I just want to look at a man that God used by the name of Peter. And I wanted you to see the flaws that he had in his life. He denied God. He quit. He fled the crucifixion. He backslid. God gave him guidance and direction to feed his sheep and his lambs. And then Peter was challenged, and then Peter was more worried about what so-and-so was doing even after the Lord had spoke to him and gave him specific direction. But then we see in his life, and I'm not going to go over there and turn to it, and I'm going to be finished. But what we see is that we see at the Pentecost that 3,000 plus were saved. Amen. Why? Because he followed what the Lord asked him to do. Jesus prayed that the devil couldn't sift him as wheat. He prayed that he wouldn't lose his faith. He knew that Peter was a leader. Peter, Once you get through this, strengthen thy brethren. That's what we're here for. We're here to strengthen each other. We're a church. And sometimes we look at each other like, well, so-and-so is doing this or so-and-so. No. We need to pray for that people.
Amen.
Galatians 6:1 says that we're to restore our brethren.
Amen.
And too many times we turn inward on each other instead of turning to the Lord and asking the Lord to help and to be more patient. I'm going to do an altar call. And I know I'm going to ask one more time. There might be someone here that might not be saved. If you're not saved, we'll show you from the Word of God how to be saved. But are you satisfied, or do you know what God has called you to specifically do? If He's put a call in your life and you're struggling with your call, you need to come forward and ask Him to help you. If you don't know what your call is, and you need to come forward and ask Him, Lord, show me what You desire for me to do. And all of our calls aren't going to be the same. They're going to be different. But He has a purpose and an intention for each and every individual in this room. Thank you all for your attention today. Sorry, I took my mic off. Thank you all for being so welcoming and being patient and listening to the Word of God. And that's a beautiful song, but turn our eyes upon Jesus and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. And I've seen it happen, and it can happen in our lives. But just a charge and a challenge to myself and you all, when we go out to work on Monday morning, let's be the men and women of God that He desires for us to be, and to be witnesses, and not to be afraid or ashamed, but to remember that He loved us, and we just want to tell somebody else, because there's a hurting world out there. There's a lot of hurting people, and as Christians, we can say, oh, they don't want to hear it. That's just the easy excuse for us to get out of witnessing. Because I tell you what, if somebody would have told me sooner, I would have probably got saved sooner. So, just a challenge to you all. Thank you all.
All right. Well, thank you.
Brother Bobby again for being here and your whole family. Thank you for sharing dad and husband with us this morning and this afternoon. We appreciate it. Enjoyed having you. And just thank you very much. And another great message. Another great truths that, you know, I've heard it said that, like, sometimes we want to be saved by Jesus, and then we spend a lot of our lives trying to be saved from Jesus. And that's just not how it works. We talk about that quite a bit, actually, right? That the Savior is also the Lord. That's the one whose name we confess. That's the one we go to for salvation is the Lord. He's not Savior and then not Lord. He is Lord and Savior. And so we've got to follow Him. We've got to, not to be saved, but because we're saved, because we're His, we follow Him necessarily, not in order to be His. So, I think this is really interesting that, like, we've kind of talked through that a little bit in family devotions, you know, of looking at some of the commands of Jesus. And because He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we ought to know what He commands. Because He doesn't say, keep the Old Testament law, does He? He says, keep my commandments. And so what are they? And one of them, one of the early commands is follow me. You know, what does that look like? You know, we can't play essentially this game of follow the leader physically with Jesus, right? I mean, He's not here, so what does that mean? You know, to follow Him. And I think it's we walk as He walked, we talk as He talked. His Spirit lives inside of us and guides us. We submit to Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are an image of Him. We are His image bearer. And again, just from Isaiah 43, which was yesterday, it's just such a good reminder. It says in Isaiah 43, verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. You know, we're created for His glory. You know, part of the why He loves us, well, we're made in His image, and we're created for His glory. That's why we're here. Nothing in there about my pleasure or what I want to do. We're here for His glory. It's such a rich passage. In verse 21, it says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And that's what we exist for. According to Revelation 2, we're here for His pleasure. We're here for His glory. We're created for Himself and to show forth His praise. We're not our own. You know, we're bought with a price. We don't own ourselves. We're just management, right? We're here. We're essentially stewards of our own lives, really, that the Lord has bought for Himself. We belong to Him. And so we ought to make sure we're doing a good job managing what belongs to the Lord, even our own vessel, our own body, our own lives. And what a battle. I mean, and hopefully it's not just me, but it's so hard. It's such a struggle that I want to do what I want to do. You know, I want to satisfy my flesh. I want to just gratify myself, and I feel like I'm here for me and my pleasure. But that's not so. I'm not my own. And so let's take this to heart. Let's truly show that we love Him by following Him, by keeping His commands, by obeying Him, and not out of drudgery, but out of pleasure, with gratitude, with joy. When we consider what all He's done for us. And so, thank you again for that message and for being here, everybody. And we'll go ahead and dismiss in a word of prayer. And then just remember, teenagers and parents, if you can meet with the Hurts right after service, and then we can do accountability time together. Brother John, would you mind closing us out in a word of prayer, please?
Dear Lord God, we thank you for this day, Lord.